My name is Pastor Pete. I'm the worship pastor here at Calvary Vista, and I'm super excited to be with you guys. And you know, before we dive in tonight, I just wanted to say it is so good to be back at Calvary Vista. It is so good to be back. Woo! I love it. Thank you. For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, that's okay. It's a long story, but God has brought my wife and I back to Calvary Vista, and we're so excited to be here. And we were blessed 3 months ago today. Crazy. 3 months ago today, we were blessed with our firstborn child, and I think we have a picture of him. Yeah. Look at him. His name is Liam James Denham. It's funny, Eliam was actually one of David's mighty men of valor, which is kind of cool. We didn't know that, but we ended up finding that out after we named him. So it is a biblical name. But anyways, besides the point, excited to dive into God's word tonight. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Matthew chapter 18? Tonight, we are going to be looking at a very powerful parable, a very powerful passage of scripture that Jesus shares in Matthew chapter 18 with his disciples. And this is a powerful passage of scripture because in this passage of scripture, we encounter a beautiful representation of God's relentless love for individuals, God's love for his children, God's love for his church, God's love for those who don't know him yet. In this parable, we encounter the love of God. And so I'm excited to dive in and talk about it tonight. So if you're there, we're going to be in verses 12 through 14. Verses 12 through 14. And we're going to read together beginning now. Jesus says to his disciples, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99? And go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Amen. Let's pray one more time. Lord, Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. And Lord, we are thankful for this opportunity to dive into your word. And Lord, we thank you that your word is perfect, that your word is God-breathed, that it is inspired by you. That tonight, Lord, we can come before you boldly and we can ask for you to speak to us, and you are faithful to do it. So, Lord, that's what we do tonight. Holy Spirit, we pause now and we ask that you would speak through your word. You inspired these words, Lord. You inspired scripture. We pray that you would illuminate, Lord, what you have to say to us tonight. And may we walk away from this place with a greater appreciation, a greater understanding, a greater knowledge of your love. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Rob, if you guys are wondering where Pastor Rob is, Pastor Rob is on vacation. And he approached me a couple weeks ago and asked me to cover for him tonight. And I'm excited to be with you. And as I was praying, the Lord really impressed this passage of scripture on my heart. It's really funny, really, really funny. Because when Rob approached me to teach on Matthew chapter 18... He approached me to teach, and he actually told me not to teach out of Matthew chapter 18. But I decided to read Matthew 18 anyways. And the crazy thing is, I was listening to some worship music, and as I was reading this very passage of scripture, verses 12 through 14, the song that I was listening to was talking about Jesus leaving the 99 to find the one. And it was one of those Holy Spirit moments where I was kind of caught off guard and I realized, I really think that the Lord wants me to zero in on these couple of verses. And so I'm excited to dive in tonight. As I said earlier, we're going to look at God's love. And if you're taking down notes, the title of the message tonight is this: Lost equals loved. Lost equals loved. The God we worship tonight, the God we love, the God that we've devoted our lives to is a God of love. We all know this, right? But he is not only a God of love, but he is a God that desires to have an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. And that's a very amazing and powerful thing. And before we dive in and talk about God's love, I feel that we maybe need to pause and define the term love. What is love? Because today, in the 21st century, we live in a world where the word love is used a lot. It's talked about a lot. And love, at times, it seems like an elusive thing, something that's difficult to grasp. And is it just me, or has love lost its weight today? Is it just me, or is love, the word love, has it lost its meaning, its impact? Because our world preaches it all the time, but I don't think they really understand what they're saying. And so when we say the word love, God's love, what are we talking about? Because the world we live in throws it around. We hear campaign slogans all the time, right? Love conquers all. Love trumps hate. I've encountered people all the time in my personal life. I ask them, what do you believe in? They say, I believe in love. What does that mean? You believe in love. What love are you talking about? Or we hear people say this: you know what the world needs? The world needs more love. The Beatles once wrote, all you need is love, right? All you need is love. But they broke up. They broke up. And some of us here in this room, we're still heartbroken over that. So I don't think they understood the concept of love. All you need is love. I believe it's true that love is the most worthy thing that we can invest in with our lives. Love is the most worthy, holy, and righteous thing that we can invest in. In fact, we are commanded as Christians to love, aren't we? We are commanded to love. In fact, it is love that separates us as followers of Christ. John records in chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus says this to his disciples: by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So when we talk about love in the Christian community, love is to be the mark, the true mark of a true believer. The scriptures make it clear, actually, that if we aren't loving one another, we aren't loving Jesus. And if we aren't loving one another and we aren't loving Jesus, then are we really Christians? You know, I'm reminded of a really, 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 really intellectual philosopher from the early 1990s. His name was Hathaway. And he wrote this: what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me anymore. What is love? Right? Stupid joke. You guys are supposed to laugh a lot harder at that. I don't know if the philosopher Hathaway ever figured out what love really is. So what is love, and what does love look like? The amazing thing is, there is an answer to this question: what is love, and what does love look like? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, records this. He says this: God is love. Who here has heard that before? God is love. What a powerful thing to write. God is love. Pause, consider what John is saying. That the God we worship, the infinite, beautiful, holy, righteous God, is love. His essence, his heart, his character, all of his actions are love. The word that John uses there for love is agape. And agape, it speaks of affection, goodwill, love, benevolence. So God is goodwill. God is love. God is benevolence. It's who he is. He is love. So what is love? We find the answer when we encounter God, amen? We find what love is when we encounter the true and living God. He is the definition of love. And he has revealed himself to us through the person of Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, right after verse 8, where he says God is love, in verse 9 he says this, it'll be on the screen. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Love has a name. Jesus Christ. Love has a name. Jesus Christ. Our good shepherd. Our Lord and Savior. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus Christ. Turn to your other neighbor, the one that you didn't choose first, and say, the good shepherd. Love has a name, Jesus Christ. We were just singing about it a few moments ago. What a beautiful name. What a wonderful name. What a powerful name. God revealed his love to us through the person of Jesus Christ. And tonight, in this parable, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus explains the mission of God's love. Do you know that God's love has a mission? That there's a purpose to God's love? And in this parable, we will discover what this mission of God's love looks like for us as his church, as his children, as his creation, and what this love looks like for the world around us. So let's read the parable one more time and let's refresh our memory, and then we're going to dive in tonight. Starting in verse 12, Jesus says this, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." So a couple things we're going to look at tonight. Number one, if you're taking down notes, write this down. What kind of love do we see in this parable? That number one, God's love is personal. It'll be on the screen. God's love is personal. What strikes me as really beautiful in this passage of scripture is that this shepherd that is described, which really represents Jesus, but this shepherd that is described in this parable takes personal notice and account of each and every one of his sheep. He takes interest. He takes care. He takes so much notice and so much care of his sheep that out of 100 sheep, he notices when only one of them has gone astray. Now think about it. Imagine 100 sheep. It's a lot of sheep, if you think about it. It's a lot to deal with. And he notices when only one of them has gone astray. The shepherd cares, you see. The shepherd takes notice of his sheep. He knows each and every one of them by name. He knows each and every one of their details of who they are as sheep. And he notices when even one of them leaves and goes astray. And God's love for us is this way as well. Our Heavenly Father cares for us. Our Heavenly Father notices us. Our Heavenly Father takes interest in our lives. Do you know this? There's so many people today that are struggling with identity and self-worth. If they could just realize that there is a Father in heaven that cares about the minute details of their life, I wonder if they would feel fulfilled. They would feel fulfilled in a relationship with him. The God we serve, friends, the God we serve, the God we worship, he is a God that is well acquainted with our lives. He cares. He cares about the details. To the mothers in the room, he cares that you're having a hard time taking your kids to soccer practice. To the fathers in the room, he cares that your job is difficult and your boss is a jerk. He cares. He cares about your lives. He takes interest in his sheep. He is the good shepherd. He isn't distant. He isn't far off. He cares. Number two, second point tonight, if you're taking down notes, God's love is patient. God's love is patient. Thank you, Jesus. God's love is patient. In the story, when the sheep goes astray, when he leaves the hundredfold, the shepherd doesn't panic. The shepherd doesn't get angry or upset. The shepherd is patient. He doesn't beat the sheep, doesn't get angry at the sheep, doesn't rebuke the sheep. The shepherd is patient. It's the same for us in our relationship with God. When we make mistakes, because, I mean, let's be honest, who in this room has never made a mistake in life? We all make mistakes. When we make mistakes, when we wander, when we go astray, God is patient with us. He works with us. I'm reminded of what Psalm 103 verse 8 says. It'll be on the screen. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Amen? Can I get an amen? Aren't you thankful that he's slow to anger? Aren't you thankful that he's abounding in steadfast, patient, enduring love? Because that's our shepherd. He's patient with us. I'm also reminded of what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 is a very, very deep, deep passage of scripture. But I love what the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write in verse 31. And it'll be on the screen. Paul says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, finish it. Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Now, there's a lot to that chapter, like I was saying. But you want to know what speaks to me powerfully about this verse is that God is for his people. He's not against his people. He's patient with us. He wants to know us. He wants to work with us. And he is patient when we fail. He is patient when we go astray. God's love is patient. Number three, third point if you're taking down notes. It'll be on the screen. Number three, God's love pursues. God's love pursues. God's love is personal. God's love is patient. And God's love pursues. What really impacts me about this parable is that the sheep that goes astray, the 99, that sheep isn't ostracized. That sheep isn't forgotten. That sheep isn't glanced over. The shepherd doesn't turn his back on that sheep. No. The picture we get in this parable is that the shepherd pursues the sheep. The shepherd leaves the 99. This is an incredible statement. Pause with me here. When Jesus makes this statement, in first century Israel, you have to understand that it was an agrarian society. People were making money off of agriculture. The shepherds, that was a big deal in the first century. So when Jesus says that I am the shepherd that leaves the 99 to go after one that has gone astray, it's kind of crazy. Because those sheep, those 99 sheep, is that shepherd's entire net worth just sitting there in a field. That's his entire net worth. All of his money is right there in the 99 sheep. And what Jesus is saying is this, I'm willing to leave all of that behind to go find the one that has gone astray. It seems reckless if you think about it. Because let's be honest, if it was me, I wouldn't leave the 99 to go find one. It doesn't make sense mathematically. It doesn't make sense from a business perspective. But sometimes God's love doesn't make sense. The fact that he would love me doesn't make sense. The fact that he would even allow me to stand in this pulpit tonight and teach his word doesn't make sense. But sometimes God's love doesn't make sense. And that doesn't matter because his love is perfect. If it were me, I would never leave the 99. If it were you, I bet you probably wouldn't leave the 99 either. But what God is saying is this: I care so much about you, I don't care. I want you. I want to pursue you. And what Jesus is saying here speaks volumes of God's love. God is relentless in pursuit of his people. And what's interesting here in verse 12 is that Jesus talks about the shepherd going into the mountains to find the lost sheep. The mountains. It's not a sandy beach, not an open field, a nice cozy prairie pasture thing. No, Jesus is saying, I'm the shepherd that goes into the mountains to find the lost sheep. It's an uphill climb. It's a battle. It's a struggle. It's hard. So the picture we get here is, look, it doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter where you've been or where you're going. Doesn't matter how hard it is to get to you. I'm pursuing you because I love you. He's for his sheep. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says this. It'll be on the screen. Isaiah 53:6 says this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What this verse is saying is this: every single one of us here in this room is like this sheep that leaves the 99. It's gone astray. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, right? We've all decided to turn to our own way. We've sinned, which is basically saying to God, you know what? I know what's best. I know where I'm going. I don't need your guidance. I don't need your help. I don't need your shepherding. I got this. And even though all of us have gone astray, our shepherd still pursues us, still chases us, still desires a relationship with us, isn't going to let us go, because his love is unconditional. It's the fourth point tonight, if you're taking down notes. His love, God's love is unconditional. God's love for his people, God's love for his sheep, God's love for his children, it's not conditional. It's not based on our performance. It's not based on how many times we have or haven't wandered off. God's love is not based on who we are, but who he is. God's love is not based on what we've done, but what he has done for us. God's love is not based on who we are, but who we know. His love is a gift. His love is a gift. And this is the difference between religion and relationship. Religion says, do, perform, earn my favor. But a relationship with Christ says, it's done. Won, it's over. God's love is a gift. And when I understand that God's love is a gift freely given to me, it's that reality that motivates me to live a reverent life. Because it's a gift. It's not based on my performance. I want to live a holy and righteous life, not because it's going to earn me more of God's favor, but because he's already given me his favor and I want to bless him back. Do you see the difference there? Religion says, do, and then earn my favor. Relationship says, no, I've already done it. I already love you. I'm pursuing you. Religion says, kick the sheep out. He left us, kick him out. Whatever. Relationship says, I want that sheep. I'm going to pursue the stray. That's God's mercy, people, friends. That's his mercy. In God's dictionary, lost sheep equals loved sheep. In God's dictionary, lost equals loved. Jesus' very mission on earth was to seek and save the lost. He says it in verse 11, right before this parable. It says this, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost." In the Gospel of Mark, Mark records Jesus saying this in chapter 2, verse 17. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus' mission on earth, God's mission, his love was to reach the lost. And when I'm lost, I am loved. I am cared for. I am desired by the God who made me. He is in relentless pursuit of his creation. Here's the thing. We need to be careful. We need to be careful in life not to limit God's love to the failed attempts of love that we've experienced on earth. Do you get what I'm saying? We need to be careful not to limit the love of God, the magnitude, the heights, the depths of his love, based on the failed attempts of love that we've experienced on earth. Because the reality is this, all of us here in this room have been hurt in some form or fashion. All of us here in this room have experienced pain. And the danger, the scary thing, is that sometimes we can project that pain and that hurt on God. And it can affect our relationship. All of us here in this room, we have flawed earthly fathers. Amen? All of us in this room, we have fathers that they're sinners. They've made mistakes. But we can't put the failures of our earthly fathers on God's character. His love, his character is greater. His love is not the love that your old boyfriend or girlfriend promised you that never worked out. Fell through. That's not his love. His love is different. The love of God, who is infinite, holy, and righteous, his love is impossible to define. It would be impossible for me to stand up at this pulpit tonight and tell you all about God's love. We can't put God's love in a box. He's so great. He's so beyond our wildest imaginations. And his love is not limited to our understanding of it either. It's just perfect. His love is perfect, amen? It's perfect. And look, if what Isaiah says is true, which it is true, in chapter 53, verse 6, if we all, like sheep, have gone astray, if all of us have turned from God, then we all need his love. We all need his rescue. We all need his love, a love that notices us, a love that is patient and works with us, a love that pursues us, a love that isn't based on what we've done, but rather who we know. We need God's love. And what makes this all even sweeter, even more powerful, is that God's love is a love that rejoices over his people. And this is our final point tonight. Number 5, God's love rejoices. Look with me again at verse 13 in Matthew 18. "And if he should find it," speaking of the lost sheep, "assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray." God's love celebrates us. God's love rejoices over us. And the picture that we see in this parable is a beautiful one. The shepherd rejoices over the lost sheep more than the 99 sheep that never went astray. I'm reminded of another parable that Jesus taught in Luke chapter 12. And we're all familiar with this parable. It's the parable of the prodigal son. And we know the story. Some of us have heard it since Sunday school. But basically, this son, this child of this well-off man, comes to his father and does something that in the first century, really actually in any century, even today, would just be horrendous. But he goes to his father and he asks for his inheritance early, before his father has even passed away. And this man, he takes all the money and he wastes it. He wastes it on the sex, drugs, rock and roll lifestyle. He wastes it away. And the picture we get in the parable is that when he finally comes to his senses, he's eating food amongst pigs. And he has this like aha moment where he realizes, wait, hold on a second. Even my father's servants are better off than this. So I'm just going to go home. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to ask to just be one of my father's servants and work for my father. And I have no doubt that on his way home, he's rehearsing. I mean, all of us who are sons, we know what's going on here. He's rehearsing in his brain over and over again. Oh my gosh, what am I going to say? Father, I'm sorry. I've done this. I've hurt you. He's rehearsing the story in his head over and over again. What is he going to say? What is he going to say? And what do we find? His father runs to meet him on the road. Runs. Sees him coming and runs to meet him. And embraces his son. Embraces his child. Probably gives him a kiss on the cheek. Puts a ring on his finger. Celebrates his return. Throws a party of all parties for his son who has returned home. The father was not upset. The father was not bitter. The father was not angry. The father did not lecture his son. The father received his son and loved his son. You see, the God that we worship and love and adore is actively seeking relationship with us. He desires. Do you understand this, church? He wants you. He wants to have a relationship with you. A real one. He wants to know every detail of your life. He wants to know every detail of your heart. Because he loves you. Look, we may live in a world where love seems like an unknowable thing. It can't be defined. It's not understood. But because of the God that we know, we can know what love really is. And when we stray, and when we turn away, when we go our own way, when we sin, when we fall short, we can expect to be met by him in love. Because in God's kingdom, lost equals loved. Lost equals loved. I have no doubt that in a room this size, there are some of you who are hearing this. And you're thinking, I'm lost. I've gone astray. I'm that sheep in the parable. I'm that son. I've turned away. I've turned to my own way. I've done my own thing. I'm doing my own thing now. Whether it's a lifestyle choice, whether it's sin, my encouragement to you tonight is this. You can bring your failure to the Father. Do you understand this? He does not hate you. Forget what Westboro Baptist Church says. He doesn't hate you. He's for you. He loves you. He desires relationship with you. If you're a sheep that has gone astray, if you're a sheep that has never even known the Good Shepherd, you need to know him because he wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And we say these human words, And we think of our human relationships. Oh, he wants to have a relationship with me. What does that even mean? God's love is unlike any love you could ever experience here on earth. His love is not flawed. His love is not imperfect. His love is not limited. His love is not conditional. His love is powerful. His love is personal. His love is patient. His love pursues us relentlessly. And so tonight, I want to give opportunity for anyone in this room who feels that in some way they are lost, or they've wandered off, they've gone astray. I want to give opportunity for that individual to bring their failure to the Father. I've experienced it in my life. I'm no better than anyone in this room. But the mistake, the biggest mistake we could make is to not turn back to him. That's the biggest mistake we could make. The biggest mistake we could make is to not step in to this amazing relationship that is made available to each and every one of us. So I'm going to invite the worship team back up. You guys can make your way. And we're going to have some time tonight to respond. To respond to the Lord. To respond to the initiation of his love towards us. You know, maybe the sheep in this story was distracted by something. Maybe some of you here in this room, you're distracted. There's something that has captured your heart and your attention other than the Lord. An idol. Maybe you're in a season of life where you're participating in things that you shouldn't be participating in. My encouragement is tonight, bring your failure to your Heavenly Father that loves you and wants what's best for you. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. And if there's the prayer team wants to come forward, we're just going to have some time just waiting on the Lord tonight. We have a few minutes left. And if you need prayer for anything, or if you need to come forward and be open and honest with a brother or sister in Christ about something you're going through, I want to encourage you to do so. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Lord, we love you, we worship you tonight, and we're thankful, Lord, for your love. Your love that is relentless in pursuit, is patient with us. Your love, Lord, that has the power to change us and transform us from the inside out. Lord, and we thank you for this parable that you shared with your disciples, Lord, a parable that we can glean from and learn from. Lord, nothing compares. No one compares to you. You are beautiful. You are perfect in all of your ways. And Lord, I pray for anyone here in this room tonight, Lord, that feels that they are like the sheep in this parable that has gone astray, turned to their own way, caught up in sin, caught up in failure. I pray for them, Lord, tonight, that they would recognize that the greatest thing they could do is turn to you and repent, to turn away from their sin, to respond to your love. If that's you tonight, you feel that you're lost, you feel that you've strayed from an intimate, healthy relationship with the Lord, would you stand to your feet? And by standing to your feet, you would be saying that I need prayer. I need help. I want to step into the love that God has initiated for me. Maybe there's some of you in this room that you feel that because of circumstances of life, or because you've wandered or you've gone astray, that you would like to recommit your life to the Lord. Would you stand to your feet as well? And by standing, it would be an outward representation of what's taking place inward, which is saying that I want to take a stand for Jesus. God bless you. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for your love. Lord, we're thankful that your love is not limited to our understanding. But Lord, because of Jesus Christ, Lord, we are able to experience your love, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that while we were still sinners, you died for us. You chose, Lord, to sacrifice yourself for us so that, Lord, we could experience relationship with you. We worship you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, as we take some time to worship you, Lord, through song, I just pray that, Lord, you would burden our hearts to receive and to step into this love, Lord, but also to show this love to a world that desperately needs you. Lord, that you would burden our hearts to have our lives be marked by this love, that we would treat one another with this love, in unity, in love, that, Lord, the world would know that we are Christians by the love that we have for one another, that this city, Vista, California, North County, San Diego, Lord, they would know that the men and women that go to this church are your followers because they love one another. And Lord, we need you for this. Thank you that you work with us. Thank you that you're for us. And if you are for us, Lord, who can be against us? We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.